Back here on Sports Talk on the Big 870. Mike Dottiglia along with Charlie Long. And on our Oakwood Heart Jewelers talk and text line, former Major League Baseball pitcher and covers the LSU Tigers for us. Man, we really appreciate it. Scott Sanders, now working with Jannie King in Baton Rouge. Scott, thanks so much for joining us this afternoon.
Hey, fellas. How y'all doing? Thanks for having me.
Scott, man, I thought about you the other night, the other afternoon, I should say, with Jacoby Byers gets on the mound, and, man, he's clipping 102-mile-an-hour fastballs he's throwing. And I'm like, man, the young kid, we didn't see him a lot this year, but, boy, can he throw some smoke.
Yeah, he, man, he hopefully, knock on wood, hopefully he's figuring it out. I think, you know, he got up to 102. I think he went 100, 101, 101, yeah. 102, 102, 101. And, man, I was happy for him. I could see it. I could see his the excitement. I mean, he's really worked hard. You know, he's at that point where people have been talking so much about how he walks people. And sometimes it gets to be such a mental block in your mind. And it's taken him a minute, but I tell you what, I'm hoping that he's got a few more good games in him like that. And his spin rate's off the charts. You know, he spins the ball better than 90% of most major league fastball guys do. So hopefully he can figure it out and have a chance to go play some pro ball.
Yeah, because you could see he got some talent, no question about it. Let's hope he can find the strike zone a little bit better. Scott, you brought this up. I know last year when we spoke, and it's certainly held true this year, of how much better LSU hits, you know, when they're in Baton Rouge than on the road. And that's for most clubs, I guess, you could kind of look at it that way. But I think what kind of gets LSU fans a little nervous is these long streaks where LSU hitters, man, it cold as ice. I mean, nothing. El Zippo. And you're getting the pitching there, but you need some run support, and I think maybe the best term to use would be timely hitting. It has not been there. It's been missing at different points throughout this season. It's been a little bit missing. Playing this first regional in Baton Rouge, I get it. You got a distinct advantage, especially who you're going up against. But I think down the road, that's – if anything – sort of keeps Jay Johnson up at night, I think it's that.
Yeah, no, I agree. You know, they've just been up and down, but to their defense, they have faced some really tough pitching staffs down the stretch. Obviously, South Carolina wasn't the greatest, and they didn't really go on the road and tear the cover off the ball there as well. But, you know, I think it's just been – it's been – up and down with different guys carrying them at different times. You know, Carriel was smoking hot, then he slowed down a little bit. Then Jones was hot, he slowed down. And then Dickinson's been pretty much the steadiest. You know, Carriel's been very steady as well, don't get me wrong. But, you know, Eden Fry's really come on late and really put a jolt into that lineup. And the problem is down at the bottom, Monster Marlin is just – he hadn't had the season I think they were hoping to. You know, he's sitting there hitting 277. You know, he hit better than that as a freshman. It just takes those type of little things, you know, that can throw you off. And, you know, you run into that hot pitching staff, and it's just amazing how hitters – it's such a moxie. When things are rolling and everybody's hitting, it's like get on the train and let's roll. And then when that train's dead stopped, it's hard to get that sucker going, you know. And that's what they run into lately. And, you know, hopefully this weekend they can get their bats hot and the pitching staff keeps doing what they've been doing, hold the rundowns and win a couple, you know, win three ball games and move on to that super.
Scott, I really enjoyed listening to Jay Johnson talk yesterday after the regional matchups were kind of announced. And the way that he talked about his pitching staff, where he mentions, yes, Anthony Ianson and Cade Anderson get a ton of attention as the great 1-2 punch that they really are. But the staff in general and the emergence of some of these pieces, Mike already brought up Jacob Myers, but other guys like Chase Shores, who's been really excellent out of the bullpen ever since he's kind of moved from that role. And then your two bullpen pieces who have been fantastic all season long with Cowan and Evans. If you're looking at LSU's pitching staff, Jay called it one of the best pitching staffs in the country. And I think he's onto something there because a 3.72 team ERA ranks seventh in the country. And it's only second behind Texas as far as the SEC teams go. I think North Carolina's up there. And then you have a couple of kind of smaller schools like, you know, Western Kentucky, Coastal's in there as well. But number seven in the country in team ERA, but this is what really stands out. and I think Ianson and obviously Anderson have a little bit of something to do with this. 11.9 strikeouts per nine innings is tied with Vanderbilt for the number one spot in the country. This pitching staff, yes, those two guys get a ton of credit, deservedly so, but at the same time, some of these other pieces are really starting to emerge to make it a complete unit.
No, I agree. Obviously, you get the two monsters at the top that have been, knock on wood, been very steady all year. But those other, Chase Shores is key. You know, Chase Shores, for them to win a national championship, Chase Shores needs to step up and pitch like the first round talent he is. You know, I think, you know, he's coming back. He's getting more comfortable off that injury. And I think, you know, competitive wise, he's always been competitive, but I don't know if I don't want to say he didn't trust his stuff, because it's hard to believe somebody throws 98 to 100 and you don't trust it. But, you know, sometimes a guy like that, you throw it as hard as you can and let it sink. His ball sinks like crazy at that velocity. And for him, it's just his breaking ball. When his breaking ball is halfway decent, he's going to get guys out. But when he can't throw that breaking ball in the strike zone, especially behind the count, you know, these guys, the hitters these days, 98 to them is like 88 when I was playing. So it's like these guys, they're so used to velocity. And but the other pieces you spoke about, they are there. I mean, LSU definitely has a pitching staff. I mean, to sit with a 3.72 ERA with the talent, the teams that they face this season. Obviously, I know there's some midweek games in there as well, but that's very. Anytime you can get a team ERA in the threes, that's super impressive.
Scott, one of the things as you head into regionals and beyond, all these teams are talented. Now, there's a level of talent, and I hear all this, somebody's stupidity, you know, people bringing up about the SEC is overrated.
Dumb.
My thing is, no, you ain't went up against these guys. You don't understand what overrated is. Might be overrated in your mind, but that's the only mind you overrated with at this point. Confidence and just getting hot at the right time. You've played it at the highest level. And how much the mental part of the game comes into play here? Because the physical talent, when you look at the top teams, that's not a lot separating them at all. But it is about confidence. And it is about a mindset that, hey, you know, we got this, you know, and things fall right for you. And we see it every year that there's a couple of plays that falls right for the champs. I don't care if it's in Major League Baseball or if it's in college baseball. Things fall right for you. And I do think we underrate a lot of times between the ears.
No, I agree. You know, the mental side is like Yogi Berra said, you know, I mean, he said what, half 50% mental, 90% mental, the other half is physical, you know what I mean? So it's definitely a mental game. And that's the one thing that you want to get this whole seed. You want to be able to play this regional at home and hopefully win it and play that super regional at home, because the way you carry yourself at home compared to on the road is such a different mental mindset preparation, you know, for game. Because when you're home, you have everything set. You know, you're going to get up, have breakfast at a certain time. You're going to be at the park at noon, you know, batting practice. You know, you're going to do your early work at 1. You're going to do your next early work at 2. This is for a 6 o'clock game, obviously. You know what I mean? And you just have everything set, right? Now you go on the road, everything's different. You're sleeping in a hotel, not your bed. It's not your pillow. You know, it's totally different. Now you're waking up and you're doing everything at different times. You don't have your cage. You don't have, you know, your routine is totally different. So the mental part of getting to play these games at home, that's why when I always say teams always knock on wood, but no, most teams are always way better at home, is because we're humans and as athletes, we train ourselves to be almost like a robot. And we're all superstitious, obviously, everybody knows that. But we want to do things on a routine. We want to have our routine. And we want to be comfortable in our routine. And guys can do that at their home park. It's never comfortable on the road. You know, you have to wait for a certain time to get into the weight room. You have to wait for a certain time to get into the cage. You can't just show up and do what you want to do. So, you know, the mental side is there. You know, and I'll be honest, I think LSU getting that national seed is going to be huge for them, because it's been a little bit since they had that national seed. I guess last time they had it was with Skeens. But, you know, besides that, they hadn't had that many national seeds over the past 6, 7, 8 years.
Yeah, and I mean, that's a great point as well, Scott, because I was listening to Ethan Frye talk about it earlier, and he said that if anyone tells you that they like hotels, they're lying. And that just being at home and being able to sleep in your own bed and rest and recovery and being ready for, you know, whatever the game has to throw at you, it's a huge advantage for this LSU team. And a couple things that stand out, as Mike kind of mentioned, they're better at home offensively, much better than they are on the road. Like, with this LSU team, we talked with Cokie Riley about this a couple weeks ago, that when they score five or more runs, they're almost impossible to beat. And the team ERA right there will tell you the 3.72, it's fantastic. But they're 36-2 this season when they break the five-run mark. And 27 of those victories have come at the box this year. LSU averaging, and I know that midweek games kind of play into this a little bit, but 9.6 runs per game in Baton Rouge, 30-5 home record. As you're mentioning, it all just kind of plays into it. When LSU's scoring, they're very, very difficult to beat because of how good their pitching staff is, and their offense lights it up at the box.
Yeah, well, and that's the one thing about baseball, too, is it's such a momentum sport. And, you know, when that pitcher's going out there and he's shutting guys down and he's getting you back in the dugout and you're getting back in there and you're getting you prepared mentally for each at-bat, it's so much better for a hitter. You know, the one thing they hate, hitters hate standing out on that field for 10, 15, 20 minutes and a half an inning because literally their mind just wanders. That's when teams start committing errors. When you put somebody out there, you know, you want an inning to be about a 15 to 16, 17 pitch inning, get back in the dugout. That might take 5 minutes, right? But when you start sitting out there for 10, 15, 20 minutes or have one of those brutal 30-minute innings, you can always 99 out of 10 times that team's going to go back down that dugout and make go three up, three down because literally, they're number one, they're tired of standing up in the field. They're tired of watching guys walk. They're tired of errors. And they're tired of watching the other team go with the merry-go-round. And so it's the bottom line is, you want to get out there, throw strikes, get those hitters back in the dugout so they can get their mind back from defense back to offense. Because when you can keep your offensive guys in an offensive mindset, have quick innings in the field, they're going to have better at-bats because it just takes a hitter's confidence from a 5 to an 8. Now, obviously, 3 out of 10 still a Hall of Fame hitter, but they just going to have a better chance to go out there and execute and put runs on the board for you.
Scott, reading into what you are saying, and I think you might have even actually say it, you believe the key guy here for LSU is Chase Shores.
Yeah,
if they're going to make a run for it.
On the mound, at least.
On the mound, correct.
On the mound, I think it's Chase Shores for sure because he's that X factor who hasn't really shown up and on a routine basis lived up to his potential. He is first-round talent. Obviously, I think he's played himself out of the first round this year only because, you know, like I said, I'm not knocking a kid at all because he's coming off Tommy John surgery. And anybody out there that has never come off Tommy John surgery, I've never done it. So I can't even speak for it. But guys, I know guys who have. It's just a different animal. It's a different beast. But, I mean, I really think Chase Shores. But believe it or not, I think Jacob Myers can be a guy coming out the bullpen who can bridge, you know, to Cowan or bridge to whoever they need to finish that game. Or, you know, if they get in a bind where if he can come out and do what he did the last time out, I mean, same thing. He has first-round talent and hasn't lived up to it. So those are just two guys that I think the LSU bats are going to be solid enough. I think the starting pitching is going to be good enough. I just think that back in bullpen and that third day, you know, that third day when they have, you know, because I'll be honest, I'd be interested to see if Jay starts one of his two main guys on Friday against Little Rock. I know personally I wouldn't. You know, I coached tournament baseball for years, and I was always that guy that took a chance on that first game. Little Rock is they're the worst RPI team that got into the tournament, and they're 44 spots behind Bethune-Cookman. So to me, if I can't beat those guys with Newt or with somebody like that, then I look at it myself like I don't think I deserve to win a regional. You know what I mean? Because if they pitch off and beat them, and then you throw Anderson on Saturday against probably Dallas Baptist, I'm thinking, you know, just looking at the numbers, and then have Anthony Anderson on Sunday to come off somebody who just had to play two games, you know, to get to you, it's lights out. You know what I mean? But, you know, I know Jay, he threw schemes against Tulane, but Tulane was a little different animal at that time. Tulane was hot and won a bunch of games, won a tournament, but Tulane and Little Rock's way below. I mean, Nichols swept them in February. So, and unfortunately, Nichols didn't have the year they wanted. But I would love to see him pitch off and then rock and roll Saturday, Sunday with Ironson and Anderson and Ironson. But man, that'd be a little risk. We'll see.
So, Scott, that's what you would do. Jay's keeping it very, very tight-lipped. Like he said, don't ask me about it. Flat out said, do not ask me the question of who's going to be the Friday guy. just knowing what he did in 2023, pitching Paul Skenes against the four-seeded Tulane, who had like a 19-40 record or whatever it was. And this is a Little Rock team that's 24-32, as you mentioned, the worst RPI team in the conference, a team ERA of 6.3 as well. So you're expecting LSU's bats to really take care of business here too and kind of break out of that slump that they had in Hoover. But do you expect Jay to throw one of Ianson or Anderson in this matchup?
Oh, man. If I was a betting man, I would probably say yes. But I still think, I mean, give me – so their ace pitch is a guy named Jack Klein. He threw Sunday, he threw a complete game, 129 pitches on 2 days rest. So they have to pitch him on Friday. So he's going to come back. He's going to literally have started three games in 7 days. So for him, for me to say, hey, that guy's going to be good enough to beat me, I would say 10% chance. So I would roll the dice. But I'm thinking, knowing Jay, he'll probably throw one of his guys to make sure he gets that win. And if he does, I don't blame him. But at the same time, I think Newt's plenty good enough to beat him, because I think they're going to score 10, 12 runs on him, to be honest. And if they give up more than 10 or 12 runs to Arkansas, then they don't deserve to win anyway.
Scott, thanks so much for joining us this afternoon. Man, always enjoy having you on. Hope everything was great for Memorial Day weekend and that sort of spot. And look forward to talking to you hopefully next week.
That's right. Thanks, fellas. You all have a great evening. Thanks for having me.
Thanks so much. Scott Sanders, Nicholls State, Thibodaux, Louisiana guy. Went to Nicholls State, played in the major leagues, and had a great career there. And now out in the business world with Jenny King.